Welcome to another Paul Hastings Data Center podcast. We're joined today by Greg Spitzer, a real estate partner based in the Chicago office, to discuss current issues and trends surrounding recent developments and leasing of data centers. Greg, what are the major trends affecting data center developments in the U.S. today?
Well, the main issues facing data center projects is really energy. Today, energy costs may represent 25% of the cost of operating a data center or more. Data center projects are just very large consumers of energy. A traditional data center would use twice as much power as needed to do its actual computing. This excess power is used for such things as cooling, lighting, security, and operating systems. The ratio of power used for computing compared to overall usage is known as PUE, or power usage effectiveness. A perfect PUE would be 1.0. Thus, all power used by a data center is used for computing. As I previously stated, the traditional model had a PUE of approximately 2.0. Thus, only half of its power consumed was used for the actual computing purposes. Significant progress, however, has been made in becoming more efficient for users and reducing the PUE amount. It was reported recently that in 2010, Google was able to develop a data center with a PUE of just 1.16, and subsequently in 2011, it was reduced to 1.14 for another of its centers. Companies will continue to innovate and find ways to reduce costs, but it's getting more difficult. The second largest cost component is probably cooling, and it's been reported recently that Facebook was able to reduce its PUE in its new Princeville, Oregon plant to just 1.09 by locating near a hydroelectric source, thus securing a source of energy, but also in doing so using a misting technique with ambient air and thus being able to cool its facility without a traditional air conditioning system and the cost associated with that. Future gains will likely be difficult to come by and may rely upon more advanced technologies and materials such as synthetic diamonds.
Paul Hastings has a wide area of expertise in data center projects, and your area of practice is in real estate. What are the main legal issues that a prospective tenant in a leased data center facility should consider?
If a user is not developing their own facility, but rather leasing space in an existing or to-be-built data center, there are a number of issues to consider. First of all, there's just the basic plan for the improvement of the tenant space. The landlord and tenant really need to reach agreement on a variety of issues, including the installing of the data center equipment and improvements, the amount of power that's needed, access to pertinent or ancillary areas of the building as well, such as the roof, the basement, storage areas, and power sources. These are all critical elements of the data center project and will be important for the landlord and tenant to be on the same page from the beginning. This should be done prior to executing any lease agreement. It's much easier from the tenant's perspective to make sure that the process will be efficient and that they will have everything that they need if they're negotiating these items up front, as opposed to having an agreement to agree to these sorts of things in the future. Again, these should not be left to be resolved at a later date, but addressed head-on so that the parties are reaching mutual agreement in advance. Maintenance and repair items are another critical item for any tenant. A tenant must be able to operate at all times and have continuous access to the building's systems and power. Typically, a tenant is responsible for repairs only within its own space, and the landlord will have responsibility for repairs to the building, structure, and systems leading up to the premises. With data centers located on a leased site, however, the parties need to consider the effects of maintenance programs within the building, what happens if a building system needs to be shut down, and tenant access to ancillary spaces in the building. This is particularly true in situations where a tenant is operating a data center in a building that is not operating solely as a data center, but has other uses such as office space. Also of concern is what right does the tenant have if a landlord defaults or is slow to perform its obligations. As such, a tenant's right of self-help is usually a critical element of any lease for a data center tenant. Problems can arise when a landlord responds slowly, doesn't perform appropriate maintenance, shuts down systems without notice, or any sorts of other types of activities by the landlord that could interfere with the tenant's operations. Problems also arise when there's a casualty affecting the premises and the landlord is either not responding or responding inappropriately to the situation. In the casualty situation, it's also important for the tenant to know what the landlord's obligations are in terms of rebuilding, and in negotiating the lease, hopefully to get a quick response from the landlord. Given the nature of the data center operations, they'll need to be relocated to another space on a temporary basis, and if the landlord will not be rebuilding or rebuilding at an appropriate time, those alternative resources will need to be used for an extended period of time, or the tenant will have to find alternative locations for its data center operations.
With what seems to be a very substantial investment by both landlords and tenants in a leased data center facility, what happens at the end of a lease term?
Well, surrender of the premises can be very costly for the tenant if they must remove all their property and improvements from a facility and return it to the condition that exists at the commencement of the term or prior to lease execution. And this is the approach that some landlords will take. On the other hand, if a tenant must leave all of its equipment and wiring behind and other improvements, several issues could arise. This includes security issues regarding equipment and information, as well as lost opportunities to reuse the equipment or perhaps to obtain revenue from selling off equipment and materials. Recently, a variety of exchanges and marketplaces have developed that have resulted in substantial funds being paid for used equipment. This is an opportunity that tenants really don't want to pass up on. In the best case, a tenant will have flexibility in their lease that would allow them to remove the assets and personal property that they like, but also still leave behind improvements and other items that they don't. Of course, landlords will have a contrary view of this because the items that are not taken out or removed by the tenant will be a cost that's burdened by the landlord.
With such significant costs involved in the development of data centers, how do lenders come into play?
Lenders play a very significant role in any data center project. If a landlord is building out a data center facility, it will certainly need a lender as part of its transaction team, as the projects are quite costly. And any lender will want to have the typical lender security type instruments and packages and protections that it expects. It will review tenant leases and make sure it's comfortable with the tenant credit, but then will also want to have a mortgage and lien on the equipment and the property that's being encumbered, as well as an assignment of lease so that it can take over the tenant's position. This raises the issue for the tenant, though, is that the financing will likely be superior or prime the tenant's lease in the facility. And thus, if a mortgage foreclosure would occur, that the tenant's position or lease could potentially be wiped out. In order to protect against this, the tenant will then want to make sure that they have a non-disturbance agreement in place. So the tenant will want to know what financing the landlord has and what priority it will have. And the tenant will want to make sure that that non-disturbance agreement is negotiated in advance. Again, leverage is important, and the leverage is now before the lease is signed up to make sure that the tenant is protected in its rights, in its lease, and its investment in the property. From a tenant's perspective, it will need to be clear that the tenant's lenders have rights in their assets and their property. And it's also important that the tenant negotiates these provisions up front as opposed to after the lease agreement is signed. Even if the tenant is not having current financing or current financing that requires some sort of concession from the landlord, there very well may be a financing in the future or an acquisition that results in the need for having such tenant financing. As a result, we want to have a right to have a collateral access agreement from the tenant's perspective. This agreement will have the landlord waive, or at least subordinate, any rights, security interests, or liens that it may have in the tenant's equipment, trade fixtures, personal property located on the premises, and allow the lender a right of access to the premises to remove that collateral in case that there's a loan default. These agreements also usually have some sort of provision on the tenant's lender that requires them to provide an indemnity or hold harmless in the event that someone's injured on the property while the lender's performing their removal of collateral. It also will provide for insurance requirements for that lender to provide, and may also include provisions regarding the payment of rent or expenses, as well as an obligation for the lender to restore the premises or any damage caused in the removal of their property. In some circumstances, the lender may also want an opportunity to cure any tenant defaults, and so would also want notice of any tenant defaults in advance of the landlord hopefully taking any action. Further, in some circumstances, a lender may require leasehold mortgage financing, and therefore require the lease require a mortgage to be placed against the lease agreement. This would give the lender the right to take over the lease in the event of default and place in the tenant's stead a replacement tenant that could operate the facility. Of course, landlords do not like these provisions because it takes control out of their hands in terms of who's operating in their facilities. Again, the tenant will want to negotiate these provisions up front when they have the most leverage against the landlord and other parties to make sure that they're getting the things that they need to protect their financing obligations now and in the future.
Data centers seem to be highly complex buildings. What other significant practice areas come into play in data center developments and projects?
Well, there really is a wide variety of legal issues that are involved and requires a great amount of expertise to negotiate these provisions and agreements that are related to data center projects and developments. Energy, as I mentioned above, is one of the primary issues, and power purchase agreements often come into play. Regulatory issues are very common. Data security is becoming more and more prevalent in terms of issues being addressed. Environmental is an issue in any project development, but in particular with data centers, as well as even hardware development. All of these matters can come into play and are important whether you're doing a joint venture transaction, a leasing transaction, an acquisition, or ground-up development. Paul Hastings has extensive experience in all these areas, and in particular, experience in the data center area. And these matters come up, and we have not only experience in the United States, but also in Asia and Europe as well. I hope that listeners of this podcast go to paulhastings.com to learn more about our data center practice.
Great. Thank you, Greg. And thank you again for joining us for this podcast, and we hope you'll join us for the next one.